Let us turn tonight in our Bibles, please, to the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. While you're turning to that, let me thank Mr. Ballantyne very much indeed for his very gracious words of welcome again. I said this morning, and I say it again, it has been a great privilege to be among you. I'd like to thank Dr. Brown very much indeed for giving me this opportunity, and I've counted it a great privilege to be in his pulpit and to minister here in this church. And I trust that in the days ahead for you all, that the Lord himself will richly bless you all in the times ahead. So Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20, please. And we're reading together from verse number 1. Revelation 20, verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless this most solemn reading from his own holy, infallible word. It is verse 14 that I want to look at tonight. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. With our Bibles open before us, let us just unite our hearts together in prayer. And every believer praying, everyone laying hold on God for the help that we need. As I've said before, all too soon the benediction will be pronounced. And evening worship will be over for another Sabbath. And therefore, let us pray that these moments will tell for God and tell for some soul for eternity. Almighty God and Father in heaven, the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his redeeming blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. And we thank thee for the scriptures of truth in our own mother tongue. And we thank thee, O God, for the reading of the word and now the preaching of it. And we pray, O God, tonight that you'll close us in with thyself. And I confess before heaven and this gathered congregation my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Forgive my sins, for they are many. Wash this vessel afresh in the Redeemer's precious blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that anointing to preach and the anointing to hear with profit. O God, close us in with thyself. Purge the atmosphere in holy blood, and let everything redound to the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The setting in which verse 14 is found is after the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming has taken place. The Lord himself has descended from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ have risen first. Oh yes, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet having been sounded, the Son of God, the Son of Man, has come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. The angels have gathered his elect from one end of earth to the uttermost part of heaven. The lost have all gathered before the great white throne that's seen there in verse 11 of the chapter. They have stood for final judgment, and there the unsaved of all the ages will give account to the Lamb upon the throne. There the unsaved will have the books opened and will be judged out of those things which are written in them according to their works. They stand here as complete persons, body and soul. Oh, the silence that will sweep over the gathering as our holy Lord sits upon that throne, clothed in majesty and power, coming to judge the world for the final time. I say, oh, the silence that will sweep over that gathering as the unregenerate stand before the infinitely holy Christ, and the unheeded words of every preacher now haunting the mind of the sinner condemned. It's the dead, small and great. It is that day that our holy Lord spoke of himself as he stood at the pool of Bethesda, and he said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Marvel not at this. There is a resurrection. Marvel not at this. There is a final judgment. Marvel not at this, there is eternal life. Marvel not at this, there is eternal death. For death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. I want to speak tonight, for the time that remains in this evening service, on a message that I have entitled quite simply, "The Second Death." The Second Death. Death. The first thing I want to show you, taking verse 14 as the text, I want to show you the declaration about the second death. Look at verse 14 with me. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Now, the second death is only mentioned four times in the scriptures completely. Once here in Revelation 20, verse 14. I want us to turn to the other three occasions because they're all in Revelation. Go to Revelation 2, please. Revelation 2. If you haven't a Bible, don't worry. If you're watching on, don't worry. I'll be reading the verse to you. But Revelation 2, verse 11. And there we read, "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Now, there's the first mention of it in the book of Revelation 2, verse 11. Now go to Revelation 20, verse 6. Here we have another mention. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Now there's the second mention of this second death. Now I want you to note that in Revelation 2 verse 11 and Revelation 20 verse 6, both those texts are speaking about a people that will not be partaking in the second death. Both those texts. But the other two texts are speaking about those that will. Revelation 20:14, where our text is, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then Revelation 21, go there please. Just the next chapter. And look with me at verse number 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now the second death, four times referred to. Twice for those who will not partake of it, and twice for those who will. The declaration of this second death. Secondly, the description of the second death. Look at our text with me in verse 14 of Revelation 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. As I have said, the second death takes place after the final judgment, when the unrepentant and their body and soul are cast away from God forever. The words death and hell in our text, verse 14, are symbolic words. Death means body, and hell means soul. With the thought being, the trumpet is sounded. That's why I took the moment to explain the setting. The trumpet is sounded. The resurrection has taken place. The bodies have risen again from the dead. You take Judas Iscariot. On that day when the resurrection takes place, his body will come again from the field of Aceldama. His body will rise. His soul will come again from hell. He will be joined together as a complete man again. And he will stand here in this scene depicted in Revelation 20 for final judgment. And thus all when it says in the text death and hell, it literally just means body and soul or complete person. That's how you could read it. The complete person was cast away into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, we understand at this moment in time in hell tonight, Judas's body is not there. It's only his soul. His body lies in the field of blood. His body lies in Aceldama, in that field that was purchased with that price of iniquity. But there's a day coming when he'll rise and he'll be reunited with his soul, and body and soul standing for final judgment. I say, oh, the horror. Oh, the horror, dear people in the meeting. Without Christ. And if you die like that, or some dear soul watching on tonight, without a Savior, without an anchor for the soul, and you die like that, I say the horror of the moment when in your body and your soul, as a complete person, you stand before Christ at the great white throne, and you see the one with wounds that he bore the sin of his people, and yet you were never cleansed. Oh, think about it. Think about it, dear people. The complete man, the complete woman, cast away body and soul. That's what the text means. Death and hell cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I say to you, dear unsaved friend, how precious is the blood of Christ now. How glorious a doctrine is the doctrine of imputed righteousness now. In light of this day, but it never washed you. and the righteousness of Christ never clothed ye. The declaration of the second death, the description of the second death. Let me say something thirdly, because I fear this is out there here in these days in which we live. The delusion about the second death. The delusion. I fear that the day in which we live, there is a great delusion about the final judgment and therefore the second death. I remember talking to a man one day, and he was adamant. I spoke to him about his soul. Doesn't matter where he was from, I spoke to him about his soul. I spoke to him about the final judgment, the day when he would meet God. And I remember him saying to me, "I'm telling you now, Tom, I'm not meeting him." He says, "I'm getting cremated. And I've told my family that my ashes are to be spread to the winds." A delusion that somehow you can escape the final judgment, the final declaration. Dear people, our Lord says, "Dust thou art, and to dust wilt thou return. But understand, from dust thou wilt come again, and stand for final judgment." Oh, dear unsaved friend, don't be deluded. Jesus said at the pool of Bethesda, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Dear unsaved friend, don't allow delusions or false teaching to in some way tell you that you can get out of this one. You can't get out of it. What God has set is set. Set in the councils of eternity. And our holy Redeemer said, "Marvel not at this." Don't be in any doubt about it. The hour is coming. Well, let me make something clear. We're 2,000 years nearer that hour than we were when it was said. That was said 2,000 years ago. As our Lord stood at the pool of Bethesda, and had compassion on that dear sinner. And then he made this great declaration, "Marvel not at this, the hour is coming, that all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." The declaration of it, the description of it, the delusion of it. The delusion of it. What about the duration of it? Turn with me, please, to a scene in Matthew 25. Go there, please. Here's our Lord's ministry, and he's speaking about this final day after the resurrection. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." There's the duration of the second death, everlasting, body and soul, everlastingly cut off from God. Marvel not at this, dear people. The hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. The duration of it, eternal death, eternal fire, everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, whatever words you term to or care to use, it's all before us here. You see, dear people, I want you to understand something very clearly tonight. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the sinner, makes these doctrines abundantly clear. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand everything the Bible says." I get that. Some of it's hard to be understood. But some of it's not. Some of it's not. It's either saved or lost. It's either everlasting life, or eternal punishment. It's either with Christ or without Him. It's either redeemed or damned. I understand, dear people, there are parts of the book hard to understand. You need to look at it, read it. But there's parts of it not. There's parts of it very simple. Come and be saved. Come and be washed. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be as wool. Sin's pleasures, they don't last. All those doctrines, all those truths, so clear. And here's another one that's so clear. Then shall he say also unto them in his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's go back to Revelation 20. The declaration of the second death, the description of the second death, the delusion about the second death, the duration of it, it's eternal. Which brings me to this. Deliverance from the second death. As I've already said, the second death is mentioned four times in the book of the Revelation. Twice concerning those that will never partake of it. And twice concerning those that will. Four times it's mentioned. Twice for the saved, they don't partake. Twice for those that do. The question is this, my dear friend, tonight. And I'm asking it at this point. Will you partake of the second death? Or will you not? That's the question. I've declared it to you. I've described it briefly, body and soul cast away. The delusion about it that some way you can get out of it, you can't. The duration is eternal. The question that God Almighty asks everyone now, listening to this meeting, is this. Will you partake of the second death? What company will you be in at the end? Because there's two companies. There are those that don't partake, and there are those that do partake. And I say again, the question is this. Will you partake of the second death? Let me ask it another way. Are you going to heaven? Black and white. As you sit tonight in Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church, if the heartbeat that God Almighty has given you stops now, where are you going right now? Where are you going? I said this preaching here before. If you don't enter heaven at death, you won't ever enter heaven. Dear people, that's horrific. These are solemn, serious subjects. The second death, the casting away of the complete person, body and soul, cast away from God, driven out of his holy presence into the fire prepared for the devil and his angel. I say again tonight to you in this meeting, to you people watching on, and we're so glad you are. Question is, will you partake of the second death? Or will you go to heaven? Will you be saved? Will you be lost? Will it be with Christ? Because there's another group in Matthew 25. Oh, there's a different group altogether. There's a group that come there and they'd washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's a group that came also on that day. and they were drunkards, and they were harlots, and they were sinners of every scheme that you want to mention. But our Lord's there waiting on them, and he says, come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And they enter into the kingdom of glory and bliss and eternal joy. Again, the question is, what company will you be in? Will you partake of the second death? You say, preacher, I don't want to. Good. That's a step. Well, here's how you don't. We need to deal with the subject of your unforgiven sin, of your sin unpardoned, of your sin unrepented of, because if that remains, you will partake of the second death. Think of the words of John in the first chapter of this book. Don't turn to it. I'll just tell you what he said. Speaking about Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Oh, dear people, there's the great remedy for sin. There's the way to be delivered from the second death, the blood of Christ, that cleansing fountain. Come with me in your mind across the pages of Holy Scripture. How many times is that great doctrine of the blood of Christ set forth as the only redeemer of the sinner, as the only remedy for sin? Ephesians 1:7, redemption through his blood. Psalm 51, washing through his blood. 1 John 1, cleansing in his blood. Romans 5, justified by his blood. Faith in his blood. Acts 20, the church purchased by his blood. Being brought nigh by his blood. Peace with God through the blood of the cross. Peter called it precious blood. Sinner, listen to me tonight. The blood of Christ will cleanse you now if you come to him. The blood of Christ will wash all your sin away. Where does that doctrine of the blood of Christ take us? It takes us to Calvary. Come with me in your mind's eye. Come with me. See him there upon that middle tree as a substitutionary sufferer. He bore our sins in his own body to the tree. I said this morning in the meeting, Christ knew no sin. Christ didn't sin. Christ couldn't sin. In him was no ability to sin. But he's on the tree, and the subject is sin. And it wasn't his, it was mine. It was people like yours and mine. He was a substitutionary sufferer. He was also a singular sufferer who his own self bore our sin in his own body to the tree. You know what that means, friend? Christ being a singular sufferer, it means there's only one remedy, because there was only one paid for it. There was only one could pay for it. The death that would satisfy divine justice and propitiate divine wrath had to be the death of one blessed Lord Jesus. As man, he suffered. As God, he satisfied. He was a substitutionary sufferer. He was a singular sufferer. He was a satisfying sufferer, satisfying divine justice. He was a saving sufferer. He was a saving sufferer. Even as he died, he saved. He saved the thief that was dying beside him. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He saved the Roman centurion. And he has saved every day since. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As that precious blood that'll cleanse you, sinner, tonight, if you come, as that precious blood flowed down Golgotha's cross,
The prayer was going to heaven, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Is that your desire? Do I speak to one tonight in this meeting? I think I do. Maybe more than one. You've many a year of sin. Maybe as this meeting goes on, the guilt, the conscience pricking, the Holy Ghost has been working. Ah, my friend, you're before God tonight. Don't be surprised that you feel like that. It's a blessed way to feel. The Holy Ghost, the third person of the eternal Godhead, he has come to you. He's probing, he's pricking, he's convicting. I say to you, he's leading you to the blood of Christ. Will you come to him? The declaration, the description of the second death, the delusion about it, that you can get out of it, you can't. The duration of it, eternal. The deliverance from it, the blood of Christ. Sinner, tonight will you come to him? Will you seek the Lord while he's to be found? Call upon him while he's near. While you're in his presence. Let me just describe that verse to you, Isaiah 55. Don't turn to it. Seek ye the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he's near. It's very important we understand the word while. While he's to be found. While he's near. Lest there come a day when he can't be found. Lest there come a day when he's not near. And sinner, you've sealed it. You'll partake in the second death. Come to Christ. Come to him right now. Come to him on this final Sunday night of August 2020. He that believeth in me, if I could paraphrase, shall not partake of the second death. Sinner, will you come? Will you come to the Savior? In closing, two companies, saved, lost, those in Christ, those out of him. The question is, where will you be? Where will you be in eternity, friend? This is my final night to stand in Dr. Brown's pulpit. It's been a joy and a privilege to be here. Great honor. Great honor to open the book. But if I never stand here again, will I stand with you in glory? That's all that matters. Fellow travelers down the corridors of time, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you of a man who didn't partake in it. He was a man called Polycarp. He was the first bishop of the church in Smyrna. And Polycarp, actually, as a young boy, sat under the ministry of the Apostle John, the man that wrote this book of Revelation. But it was during the reign of Antoninus Dius in the year AD 155 that a fresh wave of persecution spread across that church and that area where they lived. And Polycarp was brought to the stake.
And one of the Roman soldiers, having pity on his old age, said to Polycarp, "Swear by Caesar, curse Christ, and I'll set you free." Polycarp turned to the soldier and in his mind looked back those 86 years to the day of his conversion. And he looked at the soldier and he looked at the stake before him that would soon be lit. And he says, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. I've received only good at his hands. How then can I reproach him?" They threatened to throw him to wild beasts. He stood on. They threatened him with fire. He said, "Ye threaten me with fire that burns for an hour, and you know nothing of eternal fire reserved for the ungodly." Polycarp wouldn't recant that old man. And threatening with the flames, Polycarp's final words were not to man. They were to God. And bowing his head before his martyrdom, he said, "O Father of thy well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ, I bless thee that thou hast counted me worthy of this day and of this hour. I thank thee that I am permitted to put my lips to the cup of Christ. And I thank thee for the sure hope of the resurrection and the incorruptible life of heaven. I praise thee, O Father, for all thy soul-saving benefits. And I glorify thee through our eternal High Priest, Jesus Christ, through whom and in the Holy Ghost be glory to thee both now and forever. Amen." And they committed his body to the flames. And he went to receive the crown that fadeth not away. He didn't partake, and he won't partake of the second death. Now, unsaved friend, and I'm closing this meeting, will you be saved or will you be lost? You say, "Preacher, I make no bones about it. I don't want to be lost." Then, sinner, come to Christ. Come to him right where you sit in that pew. These things are real. They're coming upon the world. And you need to be in Christ. I care not your sin. Come tonight. Be pardoned, washed, cleansed, and ready for heaven, because those that die out of Christ will partake in the second death. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, and with every child of God praying. Dear unsaved friend in this meeting or watching on, let me address you just one final time. We're so glad you're here or you've tuned in. But take the step tonight. Come to Christ. And if I can help you tonight, this being my last night, I'm going to go down and stand in the alley there that goes around the back of the auditorium here. If you want to speak to me, you come and see me and we'll get into the minister's room. But above all, where you sit right now, come to Christ. Seek him with all your heart. And thank God you have his promise that if you seek him, you'll find him. You'll be saved tonight. You'll pass from death unto life and know the joy of sins forgiven. Lord, take your word by the Holy Ghost in these moments. Apply it. Give deciding grace. Silence every accusation of the evil one that would hinder men coming. Oh God, bring souls right through tonight. And may there be rejoicing in the kingdom above over Christ's saving of the travail of his soul and being abundantly satisfied. Hear prayer. Continue with us in our closing praise. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.